Thank you, Pastor. How many of you are here? Let me see your hand. All right. God bless you. I'm glad you're here tonight. Well, it's a joy for us to be here. It's good to have my wife after 63 years of marriage. We're still together. Someone said the other day, well, Brother Neil, how come you're always calling your wife honey or sweetheart or dear or something like that? I said, I can't remember her name. And after you get so old, things start leaving you, you know, like that. But it's a joy for us to be back here. We have our little granddaughter with us. This is the first service that she's ever been in tonight. And it's good to have her here. That's our great-granddaughter. Our great-granddaughter. And our son and our grandson's here with us tonight. He's in the Navy. I was in the Marine Corps, and the only thing the Navy ever did for us was dump us off where we weren't wanted. And they never did come back. They just dump us off and leave us. But I thank God for our country. Thank God for all that He's done for us down through these years. And my wife and I have been on the road 43 years in evangelism. I don't understand that. I don't even understand why I'm an evangelist. I don't know why I couldn't have a nice church somewhere like a pastor and a nice home somewhere, but God didn't give me that in my life. And we've been overseas so many times. We've been, I've preached in all the states, maybe but two or three in America. And I was just thinking, I got a call a while ago from Alaska. And a guy announced up there that I'd be there on August the 4th in Alaska. And this lady called, and she was all excited about it. So I guess I better get up to Alaska next month and preach something up there. But God's been good to us, and we thank God for all that He's done down through these years, and ask you to continue to pray. Did you hear about the little girl that came to her, came up to her mother and said, "Mother, my stomach hurts, honey. And she said, "Well, daughter, that's because it's empty. There's nothing in there." And so the next day, the preacher shows up. And the preacher said, "I've had a headache for 2 days. And the little girl said, "I know exactly what your problem is. There's nothing in there. It's empty." But that's kind of the way it is, you know. It's like these two guys on a cruise ship. They were on a cruise ship, and they were driving along, and one guy lost his tooth. And the other fellow said, "Well, that's no problem." I said, I'll put you in another tooth. I got a whole sack full here." So he took out a tooth, put it in there, and it didn't fit. And it said, "No, that don't fit." Put another one in there, and it didn't fit. You put another one in, it fit perfect. He said, "You know, I'm so lucky to be sitting by the side of a dentist." He said, "I'm not a dentist, I'm an undertaker." And so, you never know about that. So, you got to kind of watch that. Like these two guys fishing. Well, this one guy was fishing. He was walking up the road. Game warden caught him. He said, "So you've been fishing?" He said, "No, these are my pet fish." He said, "Oh, they're your pet fish?" He said, "Yeah, bring them down to the river and I exercise them and put them in there and they swim around a little bit and I call them, they jump back in the bucket and I take them home. They're my pet fish." He said, "Well, let's do that." So he went down there and he dumped them in and the game warden said, "Well, call back your fish." And he said, "What fish?" I don't see no fish. Well, it's a joy for us to be here. I want you to pray for us. We're not getting any younger. If I live to be till September the 11th, I'll be 85 years old. And people keep saying, "Well, John Neal's keep going." And I see people in wheelchairs. And I quit saying that in most conferences I preach in. I quit saying how old I am. But a lot of the preachers saying, "Well, I'm 77 years old. I'm getting ready to retire." And so I quit telling them how old I am because I have a full schedule, so I don't tell them. I just let them think for themselves. But it's a joy for us to be here, and I want you to continue to pray. And pray for my wife, pray for me. I want you to take your Bible and turn to two portions of the Word of God. I'm going to preach a very simple, short message. I've always wanted to. I've always wanted to preach a short message, but I've never been able to do that. But I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. And then I want you to turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Then remain standing for prayer right before we make the application tonight. In Revelation chapter 10, or chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. Turn over to John chapter 10 and let's look at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I want to preach a very short message tonight on the subject, the door to your heart. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have to congregate together in the house of the Lord. We thank you for this great church and thank you for the pastor. And Father, I pray that you would continue to guide and direct. Lord, there are many needs here tonight. Many are hurting tonight. And I pray that you would meet every need. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us and help us that we might be all that we should be for you. We realize the days that we're living in, and we know that Jesus is coming soon. And I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to you, because we ask all these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I preach tonight on a very, very short subject. The door to your heart. The reason I preach this, and I was thinking about it this afternoon, I was preaching in Georgia a few years ago, and a lady got saved that had been in a church for 30 years. For 30 years, she had heard the gospel preached. She had been in all kinds of services. And one night, I was preaching the Word of God, and she came forth and opened her heart, and God came in, and my friend, she went over the hill shouting the glory to God. And we find here in the Word of God that Jesus is the door. And Jesus can stand outside and knock on your door, but he'll never come in until you open that door. And Jesus is knocking on many doors tonight, and folks have closed the door to the salvation. And here we find that he's knocking on the door and trying to get in. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, in Philippians 3:10. And we find here that Jesus is standing at the door knocking. He wants to come in, and there are so many people in churches today that Jesus has knocked on their door and knocked on their door, but they've never opened the door to let Jesus Christ come in. My friend, you can be in your house and somebody come and they can knock on the door and knock on the door and knock on the door, but they'll never come into your house until you open the door. You can hear the gospel preached over and over and over and over, but Jesus will never be your Savior. He'll never come into your heart until you open the door and invite Him in. And we find here that many people tonight, and I want you to notice this verse in Hebrews 13:11. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine, For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. He's talking about establishing our heart in the things that God wants us to do. Establish your heart in the work of God. And my friend, here we find that we're to establish our heart in the Word of God. It is the Word of God that brings us to salvation. It's the Word of God, the preaching of the Word, that brings conviction and opens the door that we might be saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're losing our preachers. People have quit preaching the Word of God. And a preacher, and the Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? We need preaching the Word of God to open the door to salvation that people can get saved and come in. It says, establish your heart in the Word of God. The Word of God still brings sinners to salvation. It's the preaching of the Word of God that brings people to salvation. How shall they hear without a preacher? We need preachers to preach the Word of God so folk can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the door will never be open, and you'll never open a door unless you hear the preaching of the Word of God. And the preaching of the Word of God, establish yourself in the Word of God. April 3rd, 1958, my wife and I were in a little house in Illinois. I went up north and married me a Yankee wife and brought her home. But there April 3rd, 1958, I just got home. I'd come home from Korea and I'd had problems. I'm a Korean veteran and I had problems and was smoking and drinking and all the rest of it. And my friend, there we were in that little house. And everything was going wrong. But a little knock came on my front door. I went to the door that evening about 6 o'clock. There stood a pastor with a Bible in his hand. Pastor and his wife were standing there. And they said, we want to come in and show you something. He came in and he opened up the Word of God. And he read some verses in the Word of God. And God opened my heart. And I invited Jesus to come in. And I remember as we prayed there that night, or as they prayed and they got up and they left. And I realized when we went into the kitchen, I put my arms around my wife and everything was different. Everything was different. I was smoking about 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I couldn't go to bed without a cigarette. Drinking other things there that night. We poured some stuff down the drain. I threw away my cigarettes and never smoked another one. Never drank another beer. Christ made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Jesus came into my heart. I opened my heart and Jesus came in. And my friend, the Word of God changed my life. Little did I know what God had in store for me. Little did I know what God would do in our lives. When you open your heart and Jesus comes in, your life changes and everything is changed. And you get a new person in Christ. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And God will make you a new person when you open your heart's door and let Him come in. We find here that we're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And God gave us a gift, and that gift is salvation. But Jesus is at the door, and He'll never come in until you open the door and let Him into your heart. When Jesus comes in, everything will change. And when Jesus passes by, everything will change. He'll take the blindness from your eyes. And my friend, He'll take you and He'll use you. And God will take things out of your life that does not need to be there. And we find here that we're to establish our heart in the Word of God. But something else, establish your heart in the work of God. God has a work for all of us to do. And as I read the book of Nehemiah, I was sitting there reading that one morning, and tears came in my eyes. When the word came to Nehemiah that the walls had been torn down, he wept in his heart, and the Bible says he wept. He wept over the situation because of the walls had been torn down. But we don't see much weeping anymore. Our country is in bad shape. Our school system's in bad shape. Our churches are in bad shape. But nobody's weeping over it. I used to preach up in Kentucky and West Virginia and places up in the mountains. I'd preach up there in those little country churches. People would weep over situations and God would bring a great revival. But nobody seems to be weeping anymore. The walls are torn down and Nehemiah will sit down and he wept over that situation because the walls were torn down. I had a guy to call me one time from way up in the mountains. Preacher, will you come and preach us a revival meeting? We don't have anything. And I called other evangelists. I called them and said, we can't care for them. We don't have any money. We don't have anything. But he said, somebody told me you'd preach for nothing. I said, I'll come. My wife and I, we booked him and fixed everything up to go up into the mountains. We started driving in about 3 weeks after we drove, we found him. Way up in the mountain, and I got there and I looked at that situation and it was bad. I mean, they were bad, everything, and I started preaching, and up in that area you had to bring your dogs and cats and chickens and everything to church because somebody'd steal them if you didn't do that. Wow. I started preaching the Word of God and folks started getting saved. I look at that old building and I thought it's going to fall down. I preached the Word of God and everything was going good and people getting saved. And we had a great revival meeting there. And on Thursday, the preacher came up to me with tears in his eyes. Crying, the tears rolling down his cheek. And he said, preacher, God's been so good to us. I looked around, I didn't see a whole lot. But folks had been saved. God's been so good to us. But he said, there's a fellow lives up the holler and said he's the meanest man in the county. Preacher, he hates preachers. He hates me and he hates everybody. But he said, I don't want him to go to hell, preacher. Preacher, I pray for him and I don't want him to go to hell. My heart is broken for him, but he's the meanest man in town. Tears running down his cheek. He said, I take preachers up there and he said he curses them. He runs them off, he shoots at them. He hates preachers. Will you go see him? I thought about my Marine Corps days. I turned 19 in a foxhole. I remember that. I looked at him and I said, pick me up in the morning. Pick me up in the morning. We'll go see the mean man. We went back to the place where we were staying, some folks living in a cave. And we went back and I went over my will with my wife. I figured I wouldn't come back. Preacher picked me up the next morning. We started up that valley. up onto the mountain. The preacher was apologizing to me. He said, "Preacher, he'll curse you. He may shoot at you. He hates preachers." He said, "I don't want him to go to hell, preacher. Preacher, I don't want him to go to hell." We drove on up there, and I was a little bit scared. We came up to the place, and there he stood out at the gate of this old building. Stood at the gate. Preacher said, "That's him." I said, "I see him." "Yeah, that's him. Yeah, I know." I said, "What in the world am I going to do?" I opened the door and I looked at that old fella and I said, "You're the ugliest guy I've ever seen in my life." He said, "Ho, ho, ho." I said, "We're here for one reason. We can show you how to go to heaven, or you can die and go straight to hell. But the choice will be yours." "I don't want to go to hell, preacher." I said, "Get down on your sorry knees and tell God you're a sinner." He popped down on his knees. I got down. He hadn't been in a bathtub for 25 years. His hair had never seen a comb. He had no toothbrush. I got down at the side of him, but I moved over a little bit. I said, "Tell God you're a sinner. Open your heart's door and let Jesus in." He started crying. The best way he knew how to pray, he said, "Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I want Jesus." I slid over and put my arms around him. I said, "Tell Jesus you're a sinner. Open your heart's door. Let Jesus come in and be your Savior." He said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I want Jesus as my Savior." He invited Jesus into his heart. He stood up and he hugged my neck and old tears running down his old dirty cheeks and his face was running down. I looked at him and I said, "Where are you going to go when you die?" And he said, "I'm going to heaven, preacher." Jesus opened the door. I opened the door. Jesus came into my life. I said, "All right. We have one more night of service. If you got saved, you're born again, you'll be in church tonight." "Preacher, I'll be there. I'll be there tonight, preacher. I'll be there tonight." We got back in the car and we started over the mountain and pastor said, "I don't understand it. I don't understand. I brought preacher after preacher up here and he's cursed them. He ran them off. Preacher, I don't understand it." I said, "I do. God saw your tears. You know why the church is not full tonight? We quit weeping. We quit having good concern for sinners." Amen. "Preacher said, do you think he'll be there tonight?" I said, "He'll be there tonight." We got in that old dilapidated building on last night of revival meetings. And I shut one eye and I prayed. I always pray with one eye open. I never shut both eyes where I pray. It's not safe in some places. And about that time, the back door opened, and here he came. He had combed his hair, brushed his tooth, had taken a shower. He walked in, and behind him was his wife I'd never met, his daughter, and his son. He walked in and sat down over there and I preached the word of God and gave an invitation. Who you think the first one was at the altar? That fella came running to the altar and started praying. His wife got saved, his daughter got saved, and his son got saved, and they all got saved that night. Because God opened the door. And they let Jesus come in their life. Years later, that pastor called me from another state. You remember when you were with me down there? I'm not going to tell you where it was because some of you won't like it. Yeah, I remember when I was there. How in the world could you forget it? He said, you remember the mean man? Yeah, I remember the mean man. He said, they are the most faithful people in that church tonight. They're always bringing people to the house of God. And God is blessing that family. He said, you remember the day we went up on the mountain? I said, how in the world can I forget that? But you see what happened? They opened their heart's door and let Jesus come in to their life. Nehemiah sat down and he wept. He wept over the situation of his land. He wept because the walls had been torn down in Jerusalem. And then he started to work. He got up and he said, okay, this is what we need to do. The walls are torn down. We need to rebuild and we need to get together. And we need to rework. We need to rebuild the walls. As I cross America and many foreign countries, I see the walls are torn down. People have quit weeping. They quit having concern for their family. They quit going out and preaching the Word of God so the people could open their heart's door and let Jesus come in. He wept, and then he worked. He went to work. There's a work for every one of us to do. You cannot do the work that God called me to do. God called me to be an evangelist. That's a fellow with 5 messages in the fast getaway car. That's me. God called people to do a work, and my friend, all of our work is different. When they built the wall, everyone had a job. And they all came together and they rebuilt the walls there in Jerusalem. We all need to do what God's called us to do. God's called some to do this and some to do that. But God's called all of us to be faithful in the work that He has for us to do. Little did I know what God had for me and my wife when we got saved. Fella called me one time from Aruba. I want you to come over here. We're trying to start a work. And there was a missionary there and he left. He couldn't handle it. My wife and I had an airplane ticket and flew into Aruba. And there he had a little building and he could only get about 4 people in it. And I started preaching and I said, this is not going to work. So I went out and built me a pulpit under a tree. One of those trees goes like this in Aruba. And I started preaching the Word of God and folks started coming and sitting out. That was my congregation out there on the grass. Whatever, wasn't any grass. But. And I preached the Word of God and God started working. Folks started getting saved. My wife got deathly sick. We were in a little building, and I'd get up of the morning. We had mosquito coils there and some little cots, and we'd sweat all night long, and water would run off of those cots. And there we were in the mosquitoes and the little mosquito coils, and my wife got deathly sick in that little hut, and all we had was an airplane ticket to come home, that's all. And I remember I'd go and I'd sit there of a night and I'd pray and water would run off that little cot there in that dirt floor in that building. I'd get up in the morning and I'd go and stand on the front step, and there was all these people sitting out in the yard. Preach to us, preacher. Tell us, preacher, what to do. I'd preach the word of God, standing on that little porch that morning. Well, two or three mornings I did that. And I thought to myself, how will I get my wife home when she dies? There we were, doing the work of God in a little island in Aruba. And I thought, how will I get my wife home when she dies? Nobody hardly knows where we are. We're tucked away in Aruba. There was a lady came in, she said, I can make your wife well. I didn't know, and I said, what is voodoo or whatever it was? I said, go ahead. She went into that little hut, and she made a big old brew of some kind. Now, I'm from Kentucky, and we did homebrew, but we did moonshine, but we didn't do anything like she was doing. She made a big old pot of something and went in there and helped my wife by the nose and poured it down her. She came out and she said, she'll be all right now. I waited until the next morning. My wife sat up in the bed and she said, you're in that little cot. She said, I'm okay. Missionary came over and I installed him and got him set up there in that little church. It's going good now. And the guy that's pastoring that church in Aruba was saved in our ministry. There, a lot of people don't know that. We went down to get ready to leave, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. People of all nationalities set us on some buckets, some old buckets. And my wife and I sat there in the middle of all these people. And they sang to us. You know what they sang? God will take care of you in their own languages. All kinds of language. You know how much money they gave us for all those weeks that we spent there? You know how much money we got? When I went down to the bank and had the different monies figured up, you know how much it cost, how much it was? $35. For all those times. My wife and I left there and we've never been back. But you see, God has a work for all of us to do. Yeah, it'll be trouble. There'll have all kinds of sorrow. But when you open your heart and Jesus comes in, everything's changed. Everything will change. And I want you to see something else. Establish your heart in the work of God. It makes no difference where God sends you. I didn't know that God would send us around the world. I didn't know when God saved me. And the day that the preacher and his wife came into our home and we opened our hearts, I didn't know what God had in mind for us to do. Salvation, suffering will come. If you serve God, suffering will come. We buried our only son in Arkansas. He was killed. I'd just come back from Europe after preaching 3 months in Europe. I got back and preached in Fort Smith, Arkansas, on a visit to the potter's house. I talked about Jeremiah going to the potter's house. And potter was working on some clay, but it was all mired in his hand. He would fall off the wheel, and the potter would pick it back up, take out all the impurities. He had something special for that piece of clay. I preached that out in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I didn't know that would be my last message before I stood before the casket of our only son. Sure, there'll be sorrow. There'll be heartbreak. There'll be all kinds of things that you'll go through. But Nehemiah said, let us rise up and build. And he wept. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Perilous times will come. Men will become lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And men without natural affection. In the latter times, let us rise up and build. Where are the preachers today? Where are the preachers that preach the Word of God? Stand for the truth. Rebuild. Let us rise up and build. Open your hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him show you what He'd have for you to do in this life. Establish your life in the Word of God. And then establish your life in the worship of God. Establish your life in the work of God. What God would have you to do. I'll tell you this, and I'll close. I preach by the hour. Springfield, Illinois, the governor. This is true. There was a young man that shot a lady and killed her. It was kind of accidental when it happened. They sentenced that young man to death row. And they shipped him to death row, and there he was in death row. All the people of the town and community got together and wrote letters to the governor in Springfield, Illinois. The governor there took note of all these letters that came to him from different people saying this man made a mistake, it wasn't his fault, blah, 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 blah. And the governor decided, I'll give the man a pardon. I'll set him free from death row. The governor wrote a letter, got in his car, and drove from Springfield down to the prison. And he had in his suitcase a pardon for the young man. He asked the warden came and he asked where the young man was back on death row, and he took him back and showed him where the young man was on death row. The warden opened the cell door and the governor went into that man's cell. He said, I want to show you something. I have something for you today. And this is exactly what the young man said. I don't want anything you've got. I'm tired of churches. I'm tired of religious people telling me my right and wrong. I don't want what you got. I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of people coming in here. The governor said, sir, I have something I think you'd be interested in my briefcase. I don't want what you got. They summoned the warden. He came and opened the cell door. The governor walked out with a pardon in his pocket or in his suitcase. He got in his car and he went back to Springfield, Illinois. With a pardon in his pocket, in his suitcase, to set that young man free the rest of his life. Jailer went down and stood there at the gate or at the bar, and he said, sir, I don't understand it. Do you know who was in your cell today? No, and I don't care. I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of people. I'm tired of Christianity. I'm tired of it. I don't want anything you got to say. jailer said to the young man, "Sir, that was the governor of Springfield. That was the governor in his briefcase. He had a pardon for you. You could have been set free today. You could have gone free today." This is exactly what happened to that young man on death row. They tell me that he grabbed a hold of those bars and he yelled out, "I've let the only one walk out of my life that could set me free." And he died on death row. Many people have heard the gospel over and over and over, and the door to their heart is closed. They've never opened that door and invited Jesus to come in to be their Savior. I want you to stand with bowed heads right now for a moment. Let's stand with bowed heads.